Over the past few years, illegal immigrants have been given U.S. bank debit cards from the United Nations, reportedly $1.6 billion.
Does that go into your bank account?
¿A dónde va? ¿Tienes una cuenta? ¿Una tarjeta?
Sí.
¿Tienes?
Oh, let me see. I'm standing outside the United Nations office in Tapachula, Mexico. One of the things that is happening here and all along the migrant trail is that the United Nations is handing out cash and debit cards and rental assistance and movement assistance to immigrants to help sustain them on their road to El Norte.
Catholic Charities have been managing the illegal invasion at the southern border, spending millions while profiting billions. And the local police admit that they are under their direction.
The officers were all here with the under the direction of Catholic Charities.
Richard Poiso of Chicago reported that these illegals are getting Social Security cards within 4 months of crossing the southern border.
So yesterday, I ran into somebody that I haven't seen in a while. He's been here for about 5 months in the United States, 6 months, something like that. And he says, hey, I'm looking for work. And I said, well, I can't hire you, man. I'm not, I got to hire like legitimate people or whatever. And he was like, no, I'm legitimate now. And he's broken English, kind of bits and pieces together. And he pulls his ID and stuff out of his pocket. And he says, I've got Social Security card now, and I got worker's ID and permit for working, everything all legit. Stamp, city stamping, specialized Social Security envelope. This dude got on the buses from Texas to Chicago, got in process here in Chicago, found an apartment building within the first week, an efficiency apartment, moved into the apartment building, and then has been working cash jobs under the table for the last 4 months until recently got his worker's permit. Now he's working for a roofing company, but they're laid off right now. They're laid off right now, and he's looking for work.
We have people literally trying to do everything that have been waiting for years that still don't have what this guy has in 4 months. That's how fucked up our government is. That's how much they care about the illegal migrants more than they care about their own people. And they won't get off their ass to go out and actually get the stuff done that they're trying to get, that they need to be getting done. Like, this guy came here knowing that he could lose his life, lose everything. He gets here. Now he's a worker. Within 4 months, done all his paperwork, went to all his appointments and stuff, and figured out the system, and is hustling. It's really, really, really messed up that they would do this for people that are not even from this country. They didn't help build this country. They didn't help contribute to this country. And they just walk right in like they do and just get handed ID, Social Security card, just get them on the payroll and stuff. Let's just do it for them. Let's get them set, but not take care of our own people that are on the streets. It's messed up.
Joe Biden opposes the SAVE Act, which would require proof of citizenship to vote for him this November. Without having to provide proof of citizenship, a Social Security card and a driver's license will certainly suffice. Voter fraud may not be necessary if 30 million UN migrants can vote. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Folks, that is the latest from Greg Reese. Illegals getting SSNs within 4 months of crossing the border. And we actually have a lot more to cover on that front today. Several videos showing immigration lawyers talking about how easy it is to get some form of ID from a variety of different states, from Massachusetts to Illinois. You can just waltz right up, get a driver's license, and that's enough to vote. So yeah, they're rigging it. They're rigging America out of existence. We just keep sounding the alarm. Stay with us. We'll do your daily dispatch on the other side. Illegal immigration and illegal voter fraud is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. Stay with us.
Whether it's the World Economic Forum, whether it's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, whether it's Open Philanthropy and Dustin Moskowitz, we know that all of these organizations thought that they could bamboozle all of us. They thought that by putting fact checkers on every post, we'd stop sharing posts. They thought by canceling people that we wouldn't actually listen to people's voices. But the bad news is for them, we continue to do it. So what are the simple things that you can do? The simple things you can do, like I said before, support the alternative platforms that are allowing these voices to be heard. Make sure that you actually have these conversations. Without the utility of this voice and this platform, we will lose the war. So our job is really simple. Share this, communicate this, support
the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarStore.com for products to keep strong and prepared. Donate and share the videos at band.video.
It's Thursday, July 11th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We have a lot to talk about today. We're joined by Dan Lyman a little bit later in the show. Lots of videos to get to. Lots of stories to cover. We'll take your calls as well throughout the show today. I'll probably open up phone lines a little bit early, make this whole show a conversation about what comes next. What comes next and how do we carry out this goal line defense? Because that's really how it feels. It feels like they are driving home globalism. And we'll soon have everything they need set in place. And, you know, just like the report we saw in the first five there, Greg Reese and the 30 million immigrants flooding across our border and then being allowed to vote in our elections. There's not a lot you can do to undo that without drastic overhauls. We are beyond the time of little patchwork fixes for these things. We need an overhaul. And we'll get into what that might look like here in America and overseas in places like Europe, where yet another 1,000-year-old cathedral is now in flames. And you can just add that to the list of incredible historical artifacts and buildings being utterly, ruthlessly, and purposefully destroyed in the drive to erase European history and eradicate the gains that were made from that continent. Things like human rights. We'll get into all of that and more, but let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 11th of July, 2024. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer signs controversial election recount and fraud bills into law. Michigan's process of handling election recounts and fraud allegations has changed, with Governor Gretchen Whitmer signing two controversial bills into law Monday. Senate Bills 603 and 604 modify the requirements for conducting ballot recounts and prosecuting election-related crimes. Today, with the signing of our Common Sense Recount law reforms, we are strengthening our democracy and ensuring that we reach the most accurate count of the ballots possible during a recount process, said sponsor State Senator Stephanie Chang, Detroit. These laws achieve critical goals of protecting the security of every vote, modernizing the recount process, and uplifting the voices of Michigan voters. Anybody else get a bad feeling in their stomach? Anybody else understand what this really means? When you've got a Democrat using sort of vague platitudes to describe a bill, you should be scared. You should be very scared. The critical goals of protecting security of every vote, modernizing the recount process, and uplifting the voices of Michigan voters. It's like, okay, anytime you hear somebody like this say they're uplifting the vote, the voices of Michigan voters, just, you know, it's probably a bill about climate change. You know, who knows? Who knows? It's just, if they don't tell you exactly what it's for, assume it's something terrible in reality. Among other changes, the law will eliminate the Board of Canvassers' investigative powers, instead requiring the board to refer to any allegations of fraud to the relevant county prosecutor rather than conducting a recount. Yeah, see, so it makes things harder. Basically, it makes things harder to confirm. It makes recounts more difficult to pull off. So that's what they mean, right? So this is just how modern politics works. When a Democrat says something like, this bill is very important for uplifting unheard voices, it's like, well, what's the bill actually do? It makes it easier to cheat in an election. What? Yeah, it actually puts an extra step in between the rigged vote and the recount. We make it harder and more difficult and more of a bureaucratic hassle to actually confirm the count is accurate. That's what we call uplifting Michigan voices. It's just like, just beware. Just when you hear Democrats speaking in platitudes, understand that something evil is occurring. Only alleged errors could merit a recount, and only when alleged errors could potentially change election results. It will also increase. Yes, you have to know the effect of and cause of the error before you can investigate it. Great. That makes a lot of sense. It will also increase the deposit for filing a recount petition, modify various guidelines for clerks, and change sentencing guidelines for election law violations. For years, clerks and candidates have demanded reforms and updates to Michigan's 70-year-old recount law so every valid ballot can be subject to a recount in close races, said State Senator Jeremy Moss, who co-sponsored the bill with Chang. This legislation will strengthen the integrity of our voting systems and ensure the accuracy of our election results. Yes, yes, of course it will. Of course it will. Just like the Inflation Reduction Act was a bill about climate change. It just is the opposite. It's the opposite of what they're saying. They are weakening the integrity of the voting systems and making it more difficult to achieve accurate, certifiable vote counts. Why would they do that? Because they love cheating. Moving on here, Rouen, spire of famous French cathedral on fire. We actually have a couple videos of this, clip 1 and 2 and 13 are some videos of this happening. It is a absolutely huge spire. Totally jaw-dropping that this was built. This cathedral began construction in the 11th century. So around year 1000, built for about 200 years, finally completing in, I think, 1208, something like that. It was the world's tallest building till 1880. And it's burning mysteriously. Wow, who would have thought? There was a image going around. I didn't grab it today, but it had been going viral ever since the French elections. Just showing the sheer number of churches that have burned to the ground in France in the last 10 years. It's like 1,000. It's like 1,000 churches have been burned down. Because France is going away. It's being subsumed in the tide of diversity. It's being destroyed. We still have never, as far as I know, there's never even been an investigation into the Notre Dame fire, which was, of course, probably arson, almost certainly arson, for that matter. I remember on the day that was happening, we were watching videos where you could see people walking around up at the top of Notre Dame starting the fire. And so, of course, they called that hate speech and declared that it was a natural accidental fire before the fire was even out. Because the media and government of France is the one destroying it. Images posted on social media show flames spewing from scaffolding canopy near the top of the building, which is renowned due to its three towers spanning hundreds of years of architecture. The Gothic cathedral is widely known as it was painted multiple times by French impressionist painter Claude Monet in the 19th century. A fire has started on the spire of Rouen Cathedral. Origin unknown at this stage. All public resources are mobilized, wrote the city's mayor on X. The blaze started in a section where building works were taking place, regional officials said. The cathedral had been evacuated and emergency services are on site.
And unless I'm wrong, I think Notre Dame also was under construction at the time, which could mean that it was, right? It could mean that the, you know, act of doing construction work on these cathedrals is a risky business and, you know, there's danger of fire there. Or it could be that while under construction is one of the only times that these locations would be open to interlopers. It could be either one of those. But let's be clear. If they could build this cathedral in the 1200s with nothing but iron chisels, I think 1,000 years later, we should be able to do some touch-ups on it without burning it to the ground. It seems like we would have been able to advance that far as to be able to carry out architectural reconstruction without destroying the thing if they actually cared to. No, it's on purpose. It's all on purpose. So likely, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but if I was the French government right now, obviously I would be pouring resources into, you know, guaranteeing the security and safety of the mosques in the area, obviously, because you don't want people thinking the Muslims did this and then taking revenge. And obviously every time a church gets shot up or burned down, the first response should be to protect the not churches, the things that aren't churches. But that's just me. Meanwhile, the 2024 election campaign is just getting hilarious. They changed this headline because I wanted the headline that had maybe the funniest term we've heard being used very seriously by Democrats recently, which is that President Biden today will be holding a big boy press conference. Oh boy. Democrat Party in turmoil ahead of Biden's big boy press conference. It's happening. He's putting on his big boy pants. He's getting all dressed up.
Well, in order to be a big boy, you kind of do need to be potty trained out of your diapers.
I know.
Or you're not a big boy.
It's so funny because it's literally like, you know, I have a 3-year-old son, so we're done potty training, but we're like trying to get him to sleep in his bed without getting up and wandering around.
So what you're saying is your son is more capable than the president?
I'm saying I've used the same words. I use the same arguments. You know, big boys, talk to the press, okay? If you want privileges of a big boy, you got to prove that you're a big boy. I say this like 4 times a day. Hey, big boys sit and eat their dinner, and only big boys get ice cream. So if you want an ice cream like a big boy, you got to sit and eat your dinner like a big boy. Look, big boy presidents hold press conferences, okay? So if you want to be a big boy and get reelected, you got to go out and prove you can put a sentence together. Okay, big boy? They're probably rewarding him with ice cream, too. It's probably I'm telling you, he's Benjamin Buttoning. He is reverting to childhood in his older age. Just insane. And we'll go over this a lot because it's cacophonous. It's schizophrenic. It's just the Democratic Party right now. They don't know what to do. They're contradicting themselves. They're fighting each other. They cannot win with Biden at the head of the party, but they can't figure out how to get him to go away. They're really screwed here in a very funny way. And we'll get into this a little bit later. But yes, his big boy press conference is later today. And if he makes it all the way through without saying the N-word, he gets ice cream. I don't know if you'd say the N-word, but
that's a big ask. That's a big ask.
I mean, it's, you know, it's like, what could be more embarrassing? Again, we are all that World War II veteran behind him, just shocked at what we're seeing here. Yeah, we got some great videos to go to on that topic a little bit later today as well. But finally, we have this. House passes SAVE Act that bans non-citizens voting in federal elections. The House passed the Republican-led Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act by 221 to 198 vote, which requires voters to prove their citizenship in order to vote in federal elections. Only five House Democrats sided with the Republicans in voting for this bill. House Speaker Mike Johnson, in a statement, excoriated the Democrats for voting against the bill, claiming they now have proven that they believe that illegal aliens should be voting in the American elections. It is the only reason to oppose this bill. It just makes no sense, any other argument. We could show you some of the arguments that they're making. They don't make any sense. It is utter and complete nonsense. The only reason you would vote against this is if you wanted illegal aliens to vote in the election. That's it. That's all. You know, I understand that things are partisan. I understand that these things are going to fall by party line most of the time. You know, I just wish every once in a while, in situations like this, the party that will not shut the hell up about supposed threats to democracy would just vote for a little bit of election integrity. Do something that is just tangibly a threat to democracy. Like, do something to fight against the actual threat to democracy, the actual total deconstruction and elimination of democracy. Like, you're letting foreigners into your country by the tens of millions, and you have no systems to prevent them from voting in your elections. And the thing is, I can't remember if we have a video of this. I'm going to have to pull it in. But they don't even need illegal aliens to actually vote, because they do the vote harvesting. So they'll just use their name on a ballot and vote for them. So as long as the person is here, they are a Democratic vote. Like, the Democrats will be counting their vote as a Democratic vote. If they're just present in the country, they don't even have to go to the polls. The Democrats will just vote harvest, meaning print out a ballot with their name on it and send it in with the Democrat check, you know, box checked. So they're doing it. And again, I get that, you know, Democrats and Republicans are like cat and dogs, right? And we can't get together on anything. Abortion, obviously, is a big difference. These sorts of things. Welfare, you know, child care provided by the government, these things. There's insurmountable differences. You would think that maybe, just maybe, voter integrity would be one of the things that we come together on. And yet again, I'm reminded, how should I even put it? It's like I'm reminded of those good old days. You remember, I remember a time Republicans and Democrats put their differences aside, came together to achieve a goal and get Israel all the money they could possibly demand and ban TikTok for daring to allow anti-Israeli commentary on it. Remember that? Remember how they got deans of universities fired. Now, within a week of the event, they were holding sessions where both sides, Democrat and Republican, were at once and finally reunited on the same side, brothers in arms, allies in a fight for Israel. You know, wouldn't it be amazing if they felt that way about America? Wouldn't that be something? And that really is the frustrating part. You've got these votes that it just makes no sense why Democrats wouldn't vote for this if they don't want illegals voting. They do want illegals voting. That's obvious. They know the fraud is going on and they're changing laws to facilitate it. It just couldn't be more obvious. But I suppose we can all just indulge in a fantasy world in which the Democratic Party, who won't shut up about threats to democracy, and the Republican Party could come together to actually confront a tangible, literal, existential threat to our democracy. But no, five of them, five out of the 206 or however many, I decided to vote for democracy, for secure elections. But it doesn't matter because it's going to fail in the Senate. And even if it got through the Senate, it would be vetoed by Biden. So just really hammering home the fact that the American government is incapable of doing absolutely anything for America. Just nothing. Just absolutely nothing. Now, if you're on some sort of 2,000-year-old blood feud in the desert, well, those differences fall away and suddenly they can agree on things, but not today. Not today, folks. And we have this. U.S. spies resurrect Russiagate claims. Russia is attempting to sway the U.S. presidential election in favor of Donald Trump, intelligence officials have claimed. Similar allegations by U.S. spies over the last 8 years have proven false. Yeah, but nothing happened to them. No, but see, nothing happened to them, though. So why wouldn't they do it again? You see, the people in our government that were caught, in their own words, in their text messages, plotting out a scheme by which they would alter the outcome of the presidential election because they hated Donald Trump, a, quote, insurance plan in which they used Hillary Clinton's fabricated campaign disinformation to launch a full-scale, fine-toothed comb investigation of everyone Donald Trump had ever spoken to and all of their communications and all of their financial records. This plot used to undermine and derail the entirety of his administration. They're still in office. They're still in power. Nothing has been done to them. Not a single one of them was charged with treason and strung up on a scaffold. So they're going to do it again. And the media never even acknowledged it. It's one of the most historical aberrations I've ever seen. Like, the fact, this weird Twilight Zone amnesia that America went through, where for 4 years straight, every single day was another claim about Russiagate, was another update, was another the walls closing in story about Donald Trump. The entire thing falls apart, and then it's like it never happened. It's like they just forgot those 4 years. It's like the Twilight Zone where the people go, you know, the people disappear. The guy's running around going, "Where's Bob?" And people are going, "Bob? I've never heard of Bob. I've never met anyone named Bob." They're like, "It's your son, Bob." Like, no, I would remember having a son. It's just like, what is happening here? What is going on? They're doing the Russiagate hoax again? Yeah, this just in, folks. Two towers just flew into the World Trade Center, and we're going to war with Iraq over weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, it's 2024, and we're just doing it all over again. All of the lies, all of the treason, all of the just blatant violations of every constitutional right of our entire political system, it all went totally unpunished. It all continued unrestricted. And so now they're launching it again. The Twilight Zone, folks. Stay tuned.
The president will hold a press conference. I guess a big boy press conference, yes, is what we're calling it.
A big boy press conference.
What's up, big boy?
I am a big boy, a big boy, a big boy. Oh, I am a big boy, and this is what I do.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts.
They are describing it at the White House as a big boy press conference.
What's up, big boy?
Oh, I am a big boy, a big boy, a big boy. Oh, I am a big boy, and this is what I do.
2, 10, 12, 15. Oops, stepping on them. There's a black.
Oh,
way to stop getting people to focus on him being 81 and possibly having issues with his acuity is just to call him a big boy.
This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
She knows so long as she was denied.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation is remarkable.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
I was sitting, you know, two feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
Have trouble walking sometimes? Yeah, so did FDR.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed. Biden is stately, and he comes with gravitas.
One debate later.
Both sides. Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we had to do, if we finally beat Medicare, we're finally providing housing for Black Americans, the impact of on the choice, the idea that they're gonna, I'm proposing that everybody, they pay, the millionaires pay 1%. So no one after, I've not raised the cost of Social Security for anybody. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And wants to get away with, get rid of the ability of Medicare for us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America. Billionaires in America. No one was hurt. No one Israeli was accidentally killed, and it just stopped. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more border patrol and more asylum officers.
Viene una tormenta!
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Theme song for us.
He's got the headlines sharp and bright.
I can only imagine the work that went into that, writing the song, playing all the instruments, setting up the recording. He wouldn't just do something with AI, would he? It's really amazing what AI is capable of these days. So yeah, shout out to Matt Baker for sending that to me at 4:30 in the morning this morning. I don't know if he was up late or early, but it's inhuman. It's an inhuman time to be alive. Oh, that's right. It's only 2:30 for him. I forget. He's in California. At slave_2_liberty on X. So we got lots of videos to go to here. Before we do, a special announcement. A congratulations are in order. Huma Abedin and Alexander Soros are engaged. Blah! They posted their engagement photos here on some Italian villa. Alexander Soros got a little bit of scoliosis going, but that's okay. He's a little hunchbacked, but that's all right. So congratulations to the former wife of Anthony Weiner and the son of demon George Soros. A match made in hell. I think we can all appreciate the fact that no matter how bad things get, no matter how difficult life becomes, no matter how unpleasant the modern American world is, we can all rest easy knowing that none of us are Uma Abedin or Alexander Soros. We can all thank God that when we look in the mirror, those faces are not looking back at us. Can you imagine? They suck. Oh, they just suck so bad. It's fun to fight them in this information war. Where should we start? Where to begin? I thought I have a little longer video to go to here, but I may have forgotten to put it in. Because there was testimony. Okay. Well, no, not clip 14. All right, I got to pull in this video testimony that I was going to go to here, but don't see on the list. So we'll go to some other videos instead. We do have a lot. And of course, one of the biggest stories right now is the fact, and this is sort of how to picture it. I was going to say, like, one of the biggest stories right now is the SAVE Act and the trying to ban illegals from voting in the election and laws being passed. In some cases, to make it more difficult to cheat in elections, in some cases, making it easier to cheat in elections. The real way to imagine this, the real way to see this, is what's happening right now is that the Democrats are feverishly putting in place all of the measures they need to cheat without consequence. That's what's happening right now. There's some pushback on this by the Republicans, but that's not the driving force. The driving force is the Democrats rigging the election in front of all of us, putting in place the laws and rules and regulations and, you know, the fine print on the election law that will allow them to cheat in a way that is impossible to prove or disprove. As we pointed out, this is how Elon Musk characterized it earlier this week. But it's been what we've been saying here since literally 2020. And even before, how the mail-in ballot system, the ballot harvesting, and the lack of voter ID, and the provisional ballots, and the rigging of the election count in the middle of the night, these things have been set up deliberately to make it impossible to determine whether or not the vote is valid. And the example the illustration I always use, just like votes have a chain of custody, evidence has a chain of custody. And so if you wanted to rig a trial, you would disturb and disrupt and make impossible to verify the chain of custody. So instead of, you know, a DNA sample being collected by a lab technician here where he signed it and certified it and sealed it in a, you know, a tamper-proof container and then sent it to the lab who certified that they received it unopened and they did it, and it's just like, it's for sure, okay, this is definitely the blood, it's definitely from the crime scene, it was definitely tested correctly, you have all of this certified and everybody from every step of the way goes into court to testify, yes, this is my work, yes, I'm the one that did this, here's my, you know, certifications on being able to do all of this. What if you just got rid of all of that? What if you could just present evidence in a court and not have to prove where it came from and not have to prove anything about it? Could you ever trust a decision ever again? Would you be okay being convicted or having, you know, somebody who victimized you exonerated in a proceeding for which there was no evidentiary control, for which there was no chain of custody for any of the evidence permitted or presented to the case? It's like you could come to a conclusion. The jury could render a verdict. But there's no way of knowing whether it's accurate or not, because there's no way of verifying the evidence. There's no way of verifying the vote count. That is what they're setting up. So as we speak, the Democrats are systematically and feverishly putting in place all of these measures that make it impossible to verify, certify, or decertify the electoral results. The Michigan example is the most blatant in recent memory, where they have all these rules for conducting a recount. Now they're going in and they're changing these rules to make it more difficult to get a recount. And that's it. That's what they do. That's what these laws do. There's no other reason to have them. And they're setting it up in a way that, to me, makes it seem impossible to ever get a recount. Only alleged errors could merit a recount, and only when the alleged errors could potentially change the election results. So how could you possibly know that? First of all, how could you know what's an error and what's not? And if you could determine that something was an error rather than... I don't even get that. Only alleged errors could merit a recount. So typically, recounts will be automatically instigated if the vote is just too close. You know, you just, if it's only within like 100 or so votes, it's like, all right, well, we better count these again and make sure we got all of them, make sure we got everything right. This is a very narrow victory. We got to make sure, you know, the winner takes it. But not anymore, I guess. Now you have to prove that there was an error of some sort. You have to allege a specific error, and that error has to be enough to change the election results, which seems like an impossible bar to clear. That seems like a totally unreasonable requirement to get a recount. And of course, the question you should be asking is, why wouldn't they want to, like, what is the damage of a recount? Just like, what is the threat of requiring photo ID? Like, what problem are they trying to solve? Is it a problem? Are there too many recounts?
It's like a 400-year-old problem. It's racism.
Oh, it's racism. Oh, that's right. No, it's probably racism. No, I forgot. They are, quote, uplifting the voices of Michigan voters. Sorry, that's what they're doing. They're uplifting, by which they mean abolishing, Michigan voters' voices, by which they mean certifiable and verifiable elections. They use different words, but that's what they mean.
Explain how the central bank digital currency, ESG-controlled corporate governance, controlling what you can do and spend, corporations, governments, private individuals, how they use that as the next bubble with the unified ledger. This is key because their bridge to get out of this bubble is the next level of total control to take a giant slice of everybody's life, but not call it a bail-in, just call it a social credit score.
Yeah. So let me, if I may, put this into the context of you and what you've gone through in this bankruptcy that you've had to go through and everything happening with InfoWars. You know, they didn't like what you had to say, so they froze you from your bank account. You couldn't access your money, right? So that took a legal process to get to that point. This is that exact same scenario, them separating you from your money, but without a legal process. They can just do it because they don't like you, because they don't like your ideology.
Now, slow down. That's just key, Dr. Elliott. This is a central bank ledger. Just sounds like a term people know. Everyone is in bankruptcy, private companies, corporations, the general public. That's why they say you'll own nothing and like it. And then they unify it and take what they want. Your mortgage, everything is unified.
Everything. See, every asset that you have that's in this digital form, whether it's a bank account, checking account, savings account, money market, stock, bond, mutual fund, brokerage account, all of that stuff, and anything with a title like your house, right? You can be put into this unified ledger. Now, the World Economic Forum has explained this really well in the sense of this is digital money. It's programmable money, meaning they tokenize or they put all of your assets into a packet. And that packet is now can be sold, right? This is like a derivative. You can flip off the ownership with a flip of a button saying, okay, Alex, you no longer own all of this stuff that you thought you had. We're flipping the switch and we're going to give it to person B or person C or to the government. right? They can do whatever they want. This is what programmable money and a unified ledger is. And to make it really dangerous is that it's based on your digital social profile and your social credit score. Now, we're not talking about a dystopian future, right? We saw this happen with the truckers in Canada.
The British Prime Minister said, if you don't accept military service, we'll just turn your bank account off. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of these things seem to be a stretch in people's minds, right? It's like, oh, this is the mark of the beast. This is way down the road. We've seen it, bank accounts.
Well, that's right. You're not covering things that are coming. This is all being rolled out now. They have gas station chains all over Europe, the U.S., including in Oklahoma and Texas, where you've got to swipe a card to get in the building. You got to swipe a card to buy gas just to prove you're even able to buy it. I mean, it's coming in.
We're not just talking about freedom here, right? Financial freedom, getting out of harm's way of these digital assets. We're also doing something that we get the best of both worlds, asset protection and growth. And that's what makes it such an amazing
Nothing's performed as good as silver. And I haven't had a silver or gold sponsor because so many of them sell numismatics, rip people off. You are the number one bullion dealer in America right now because you've got the best deals. Look at that 12-year graph, folks. This is a no-brainer to protect your assets and probably have growth. We can't guarantee anything, but my God, you're crazy if you don't call Dr. Kirk Elliott at 720-605-3900.
With dealing with the Democrats of today, I haven't liked making it a Democrat Republican thing because, like we know, there's the unit party. But it's the Democrats doing this. It's the Democrats that are always doing this, and it goes to like the moral foundation of the belief system. And so we're sort of screwed by our own morality here because, and we've used the illustration before, like if you're playing a game with somebody and they're cheating, either you have to quit playing the game or you have to cheat also or you lose. Now, unfortunately for us, the game that we're playing here is the fate of our nation. It's the electoral process of the United States and who will be in control of its future. So we can't not play. We have to play, and whoever wins history, wins the future. But they're cheating. So it's like we're sitting at a Monopoly table and the Democrats are just grabbing bills out of the bank whenever they need it. They're just cheating. And we don't like cheating. Like, we just don't, it's not something that we do. And also, we know that the way the justice system is rigged at this point, it's not even a possibility. It's not like we can just do what the Democrats do and also get away with it. Because they understand exactly what they're doing, and if they see Republicans do it, then they'll be out there, crying crocodile tears about the sanctity of our democracy and how dare the Republicans violate our voting system like this. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. So they're just rigging it. They're just cheating. It's not really that complicated. It's not even really that devious. They're just doing it, and they're doing it in a variety of different ways. Puts us in a difficult position because we don't like cheating, and we're not as good at cheating as them. So, like, they do the ballot harvesting crap, that's not as much an option for Republicans. See, Democrats have entire demographic groups that vote for them 95%+ of the time that all live in metropolitan high-density areas in very certain geographic locations. So the Democrats can very easily run the numbers, parse the data, and go, all right, this neighborhood in this city, they vote 95% Republican, and so if we just send in 50 volunteers to go door-to-door and ballot harvest, then that's X amount of votes for us, and they can do that. Republicans don't really have that type of demographic loyalty in any regard, and those demographics that do reliably vote Republican don't live in big city neighborhoods, densely packed. It's a bit of a different, you know, game getting 50 Republican votes from farms that are 4 miles between each one than getting 50 Democrat votes in one apartment block in one city. So the whole system is set up to facilitate their rigging, and they're making it easier for them to do it, as the story that we were covering. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer signs controversial election recount fraud bills into law. Watering down protections is counterproductive when several red flags have arisen within the state's election process, was the comment from the Republican representative. Opponents say eliminating the canvassers' investigatory powers and scrapping protections against election worker interference will make fraud more difficult to address and compromise election security. Yeah, duh, that's the point, right? That's why they're doing it. They wouldn't do it if it didn't make it easier to cheat. And it's not just the election system that they're rigging. They are, of course, simultaneously using the judicial system to go after their opponents. Let's go now to clip number 9. Here's Representative Russell Fry from South Carolina talking about the way the government has been weaponized against Republicans in a variety of different ways. Let's watch.
Gentleman from South Carolina is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, it's been a bad week for Democrats. Not only is the border wide open, not only does Main Street feel the pressure of 20% inflation, but we saw a pretty tragic debate performance by the commander-in-chief. In fact, Democrats this week are discovering new tunnels on the way to and from the Capitol in which to hide from the media. And so they are now talking about things like Project 2025 and things to distract the American people from what they're really seeing, which is a country that is not doing well under his leadership. It is a total distraction. Let's recap some of the main players we have here today. Alvin Bragg used a novel legal theory to bootstrap a misdemeanor allegation as a felony by alleging that records were falsified to conceal a second crime. Alvin Bragg is a pioneer of sorts, but in all the wrong ways. When you look at what he's done, he's paved the way for rogue district attorneys to campaign on and get elected to prosecute political enemies or political opponents. Then we have Judge Mershon, who's a top Democrat donor. His daughter worked for Kamala Harris and even urged a Trump Organization CFO to be a government witness against President Trump. But when President Trump requested that he recuse himself, Judge Mershon said no. He performed an examination of his own conscience, which he found that he can rule fairly and that it would not be in the public interest if he recused himself from the case. A total farce. The left has really stacked the deck on this trial. Judge Wilson, why should Judge Mershon, we talked about this a second, but we're going to wrap up here. Why should Judge Mershon have recused himself from hearing the case against President Trump?
A judge has an obligation to be fair and impartial and to appear fair and impartial. Now, Judge Mershon has the right to rely upon the ethics opinions that he received. He asked a question, he got the answer. But that isn't the end of the analysis. The judge has to also avoid the appearance of impropriety. In hearing the case, after having made political contributions and having a daughter, first degree relationship to the judge, profiting from attacking the subject of the trial that the judge is presiding over, has the appearance of impropriety.
Judge, have you ever asked specifically a potential witness to be a witness in a case, or have you let the prosecutors and the defense counsel pick those their own set of witnesses?
I leave that to the prosecution and the defense. The prosecution is the burden of proof. They decide what witnesses they want to put forward to prove their case, and the defense then has the ability to present whatever witnesses they want. Sometimes witnesses will be irrelevant, cumulative. There'll be other reasons they'll not testify. But in general, the prosecution, defense are the ones that pick the witness.
So if a judge were to do that, in this case, Judge Mershon, to ask a former Trump CFO to be a witness in a case, that would be improper. Is that correct?
That's out of the ordinary. It's not always improper for a judge to suggest a witness, but judges don't call witnesses in 99.99% of cases.
Judge, you talked about this earlier, kind of a parade of errors that what was the legal term that you used?
Cumulative. These are cumulative errors.
So would the inability of Judge Mershon to recuse himself, would that be part of a stack that could be used as by a court of appeals to reverse the decision?
I believe so.
What other grounds for appeal do you think are evident from your mind on this particular case?
Well, I go right back to the indictment, and appellate courts like to rule on things that are pretty clear. A clear error is usually the basis that an appellate court will find, and not go into a lot of other questionable issues. Courts like to decide things simply in most cases. Here, the indictment was facially insufficient right from the beginning, and it would have been a simple matter for Judge Mershon to dismiss that indictment and to give the prosecutor leave to represent that indictment to get a sufficient one, to give the defendant proper notice of the charges that the defendant was facing. That was not done in this case, and that led directly to the next significant error, which was not notifying the defendant of those additional charges until he was already at trial, and many of them not being notified, many of those charges not being present until the jury instructions themselves.
And then the jury instructions, of course, were wrong, too. I mean, it was a 55-page set of jury instructions that were incredibly confusing to an average juror.
Yes, as well as to lawyers, for that matter, because I heard that comment more than once, that many didn't know what those jury instructions meant.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate your time.
Survival Shield X3 is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, there are several reasons why you should be considering this product. Frankly, not even considering it, just getting it at InfoWarsStore.com. First of all, we know that nascent iodine supports thyroid health. Now, our thyroid is responsible for several things associated with our health, namely detoxifying, purifying the body, and eliminating the chemicals that we're exposed to, whether they're chemicals in our air, or chemicals in our water, or chemicals in our food. Nascent iodine is key in giving our body and our thyroid the strength and power that it needs to detoxify these terrible chemicals from the way that we are exposed to them in the environment. Now, not only is this nascent iodine incredible for our thyroids, but X3 is specifically designed to be as effective as possible because Survival Shield X3 includes three different types of iodine for one specific reason: to ensure bioavailability. We know that different people have different genes. Some genes are more prone to being able to absorb nascent iodine than others. So we've included three different types of nascent iodine in Survival Shield X3 to ensure that your body is able to absorb and integrate at least one of them into your functioning so that you can be as efficient and healthy as possible. Now, it's not only important to buy Survival Shield X3 because it does things like support thyroid health or because it does things like support detoxification or the enhanced bioavailability, but also because by getting this product, Survival Shield X3 from InfoWarsStore.com, you are supporting InfoWars itself. We know that this is a critical time for our country. We know that we have one of the most important elections, if not the most important election of all time, coming up this November. And so by getting Survival Shield X3 from InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you supporting your health and your body's ability to detoxify itself and power its thyroid system, but you are supporting InfoWars and keeping InfoWars on the air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get Survival Shield X3, support your thyroid health, detoxify your body, keep InfoWars on the air, and frankly, save humanity.